Blog Talk Radio.
The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me.
Good morning, welcome to What's New with VHUs. I am your host, Venus Henderson Hughes. Joining me in the studio today is my co-host, Regina Hughes. Good morning, Regina.
Hello.
And my other co-host just joined the studio, Christopher Hughes. Hey, what's going on, Chris?
Good morning.
So, today's subject matter is Drug and Alcohol Facts Week. And this week is designed for teens in mind, and it is to dispel the myths about drug and alcohol. And this week was created by the National Institute on Drug Abuse, who is part of the National Institute of Health. And now I know that when I was a teen, I did not know about this week. And the reason why I selected this is because, or this subject matter is because it is a... It is a discussion that one needs to happen, and I think that, and I know that it needs to happen because we have so much prevalence of drug and alcohol use in movies and music, etc., which the content that is shared from the National Institute of Drug Abuse on their website, as well as some other places, speaks about that. So what they have, and I'm not going to stay on their information for long, but I wanted to let you guys know that they have a downloadable book called Drugs Shatter the Myth. And the one thing that I really like this book, and you can get this book on their website, which is teens.drugabuse.gov / National Drug Alcohol Facts Week. And that's what it's called, National Drug and Alcohol Facts Week. So they have a lot of downloadable information. But back to this book. So the book is called Drugs Shatter the Myths. And the table of contents speaks on the subject matter. And the first thing, of course, is marijuana. The next thing is peer pressure. The next thing is alcohol. The next thing is medical consequences. The next thing is prescription drugs. The next thing is drugs in your brain. And the last thing is treatment. Join the conversation. Guests, you can give us a call at area code 516-453-9934. So going into this, and this is a downloadable book, and they have quizzes throughout this book. So, you know, the very first thing is, first question is marijuana addictive? And you're right, Regina, it is addictive, and it says the chances of becoming addicted to marijuana or any drug are different for each person. For marijuana, it's about 1 in 11 people who use it to become addicted. You could be that one, is what they're saying.
But in that, I think that marijuana, because I don't get down like that with any different drugs or drinks. It can be, I like what is referred to as straight edge lifestyle, not comprising like that. But for those that I know that do partake, I get the term being faded or...
Man, you speak Spanish to me. I don't know any of those.
Faded, wasted, high, whatever.
Whatever the terminology is, right. the need to escape.
Right. The need to kind of like settle your mind and express your mind, wherever people that do that say, is not the use of the drug doesn't make you not be functional compared to your consumption of alcohol, for example, or harder drugs like cocaine. I don't condone it, but at the same time, someone smoking a joint ingesting cannabis
you can actually eat it. Yeah. Pop brownies.
I don't judge on that as much, even though it seemed like that's kind of a go-to drug to go too far as wanting to relax and sell down or getting their mind right, as they say, whatever, which I still don't understand it because, like I said, I don't agree with that for myself.
Well, one of the facts that they have listed in this book is it says that if you smoke marijuana a lot in your teens, you could lose IQ points that might never get back. You might never get those back. So that's
so they're saying brain cells.
Brain cells, yes, yes, yes. And they have a quiz after that, the 3-question quiz. Of course, we've heard about peer pressure, of course, all throughout our teen years. And I don't know, Gina, you've heard about peer pressure in your teen years as well, correct? When you were in high school and things like that, middle school. So, they speak about peer pressure. They speak about smoking. One of the facts about smoking, it says most people who smoke started before age 18. So that's most people. And one of the things that I wanted to speak about, because I know this is popular, is a did you know? And it says, did you know e-cigarettes contain nicotine, the addictive drug in tobacco cigarettes, and other chemicals that may be harmful? More teens use e-cigarettes than tobacco cigarettes. Scientists have just started to research the health effects of e-cigarettes, but we do know one thing. Users will inhale the same nicotine that they get from a regular cigarette. So there's this thought that doing a e-cigarette,
a vapor.
I'm not sure if vapor is in here, but the thought behind the whole electronic cigarettes, the e-cigarettes, was that they were a healthy alternative to smoking a regular cigarette, and so far that has been proven not to be true.
You want the same thing with the vape?
They don't have any information in here about vapors.
No, but as far as the stigma of the fact that the vape is supposed to be a healthy alternative than directly smoking a
still inhaling a toxin into your lungs.
Agreed, because they want
the regardless of the fact that it's a water vapor or
exactly.
Whatever, it's still the same thing.
Exactly, and that's why again I don't get down like that. I don't agree with that for myself, but people gonna do what they're gonna do in order to medicate or get the feeling of euphoria that they want to have.
So the next subject is drinking in here, and it says drinking and driving can add up to tragic endings. Well, again, that comes from a no duh moment, but in the United States, about 4,300 people under the age of 21 die each year from injuries caused by underage drinking, and more than 35% in car crashes.
No, unfortunately, I didn't.
Hold that thought. And here's a fact: about 4 in 10 people who begin drinking before the age of 15 eventually become alcoholics.
Well, drinking in my time has always been a rite of passage for young folk or whatever to do. Again, didn't get down with that or whatever as I was growing up. I didn't have that many friends in them because they were wanting to be adults so fast, and part of that was to be able to drink alcohol.
Some kids now they want to be adults faster too.
It's so funny you guys mentioned the whole wanting to be adults faster. I remember you know, growing up wanting to be a grown up. And, you know, I know there's either a meme or a post or a flyer or whatever it was that I have seen where, you know, you want so bad to be a grown up because you're tired of all the rules and regulations that you have as a kid, not realizing that as an adult you have more responsibilities. And the one thing that we don't see as children are the responsibilities that our parents hold on them. There are a lot of things that we are, blessed not to see as children, and we take those things for granted until we are placed in an adulthood where you have to pay the bills. You know, I don't know as a child if we, like, magically think that things just happen, like the lights just automatically stay on, that the food just automatically, you know, appears in the refrigerator, that, you know, that you have heat, that you have clean clothes, like there's this magic thing that just happens. However, as an adult, you are faced with the bills that make a household run.
I think in that, the young person's mind is different than they are when they get older. And to what you're saying, I think a lot of that is either not seen or even paid attention to, because as far as they're concerned, the food is in the refrigerator to get something, make a sandwich or a can be, or get something to drink. The heat is on to warm them in the house when it's cold outside. The clothes get done. The light is on, the electricity is on for them to play their video games or charge their phones up or whatever. They are in a good state of being because their parent is providing, but as far as the logistics of, well, how does this happen, that's not in their mind because they're in the moment enjoying the fruits of their parents' labor.
Yeah, but you know what? I think there's this obvious thing, and of course that goes with the whole growth of brain. You know, there's this obvious thing that when it is not brought to you, when you're not included in that circle, then you don't have to think about it. You know, I know, you know, my grandmother raised me, so there was never a moment that I ever felt like there was nothing there. You know, and I know there is a thing where, look, kids go into the refrigerator, and there may be a whole bunch of food in there, and they go, there's nothing in there to eat, because there's nothing in there to eat that you want to eat. But it may be, you know, the food may be falling out the refrigerator. You know, you might have fruits and juices or whatever in there, but it's not what you particularly want. There's a big difference from that, from going into your refrigerator and there's nothing in there to eat and there's nothing but water. Or sometimes there's no water in there. And honestly, people, we have gone through that as adults, but we have made it so that our children, again, did not have to suffer in that. So that's the difference between the whole parent-child mindset thing. The next subject in this book, and like I said, I'm just doing a little overview, is medical consequences. And the first thing that it says, HIV, getting HIV from unprotected sex. When you can't think straight because you're drunk or high, you may forget to play it safe. And then there's a story about Kim, and it's, you know, again, download this book. This is a really good book. Join the conversation, guest, 516-453-9934. And the next subject in here, they speak about meth. Meth, of course, is definitely prevalent in Arizona. And it talks about meth reducing the amount of protective saliva around the teeth. And people who use meth usually drink a lot of sugary drinks. They neglect their personal hygiene, grind their teeth, clench their jaws. And this is attributed to what is called meth mouth. And the picking at their skin is because of the people who use meth hallucinate, thinking that they have bugs either on top of their skin or underneath their skin. And again, that's in there. Now, this is what I alluded to before. And it says, this is another did you know. It says, did you know you are getting bombarded with messages about drugs and songs and movies? A study done in 2008 found that one in three songs says something about drugs, alcohol, or tobacco use.
I'm killing people.
3 and 4, rap songs, says something about drug, alcohol, or tobacco use. And of the top 100 movies over a 9-year period, so almost a decade, 7 in 10 movies show characters smoking, and 1 in 3 movies showed people getting drunk. Now, I wish they had included television, because, of course, you know, we watch, well, exclusion to Regina, we watch Scandal, and of course, if you watch Scandal, you know that drinking wine is a huge thing on Scandal. And I'm not sure.
Millie's special brew.
Or Millie's special brew. Whatever the case, there's a huge thing of drinking on Scandal. And it's not just wine, they drink other drinks as well. And I'm not sure if that's across the line for Shondaland, because I don't watch all of those shows. I just watch Scandal. But they're not immune. There are other shows on television that has drinking and things like that as well. I watch Criminal Minds. I think sometimes you can see them at a bar or having dinner with wine or whatever, what have you. So there are other shows on television that show that, and I think that sort of, I guess, makes it more so acceptable with drinking, you know. And I think it's one of those things that if you are young, if you are a teen and you watch these shows and you see that these adults are using it to sort of wind down their day, then why isn't it okay for you? Yes, you're a teen. You know you're not supposed to be drinking, but okay, they do it on a show, and a lot of, I think a lot of fantasy goes over to reality in some teens' minds, not across the board. There are some teens that are well wise beyond their years. But for those who are not on that train, and they're on a whole different train or in a whole different station, if you will, that sort of, that social norm becomes more intrinsic for them. It becomes, okay, well, you know, my favorite character sits and sips some wine. Why can't I? You know?
Well, and that also is the parents' prerogative of their social background. There was an episode of Good Times back in the day.
With the cousin.
Of the cousin. Of the Evans family, who her parents basically felt that kids, you know, having wine wasn't a big deal. And let me reiterate, their daughter, having wine at a young age was a big deal. It was a social thing. Everyone should be able to get happy. It can't even be a little sip of wine here and there, whatever, it didn't hurt nothing. Unfortunately for them, their child ended up being a major alcoholic, unbeknownst to them, supposedly, which I couldn't understand watching the episode again after so many years. Why would you not know that your child is doing that? To have the father explain that he thought his child was on drugs, he didn't attribute the fact that her drinking was part of the reason why she was going through what she was going through. So, in that, the fact of kids nowadays, I agree with what you're saying, being the fact that all young folks do have a little better head on their shoulders than others. But for those that are peer pressured or interested and don't know how to pull back from that, that does become a problem.
Now, one of the things that, sorry guys, I didn't know that was going to come up to do that, but one of the things, and I was pulling up, what you heard is, I'm pulling up ABC News, and I saw a segment with Dr. Jen Ashton, and she talked about a dry January. Now, when we think about dry, especially for those who are aware of drinking, that usually means the person is going on the wagon. They're stopping to drink because they are alcoholic or whatever, what have you. This is not the case in Dr. Jen Ashton's point of view. She is a social drinker, and what she realized is that if she was to go to a couple of parties within the week, she would have consumed over that weekly amount, whatever that amount is, and I'm not going to look that information up, but she would have gone over that amount for whatever that pinpoint is that week. And so she decided to do a dry January. She started off the year, so you know, of course, January is the month of resolutions. You start the year off with, this is what I'm going to do, this is how my year is going to go. And so for her, she decided that when it came to going to social events and things like that, she decided not to drink. So I think it's another thing as far as leading by example. my husband and I don't drink. However, and we'll get into that in a few minutes, I used to be a drinker. Not a lush per se, but I was a social drinker. I wouldn't even say social, every now and again. But anyway, the next thing in this book, and we're almost done with this book, is tobacco use. And it literally talks about the breakdown of how tobacco affects your body. So, you know, the addiction, of course, affects your brain. You get skin damage. Cataracts, which I had no idea, can come from tobacco use.
Possible
wrinkles, mouth cancers, throat cancers, heart disease, and, of course, lung disease.
Right.
Then the next, they go into the prescription drugs. Facts of things, and they talk. One of the things that they talk about was Vicodin, and of course, in my past life, I used to be a pharmacy technician. Okay, technically, I still am because I keep my licenses up to date. But they talk about the fact that more people die from prescription pain reliever overdoses, like Vicodin, and of course, OxyContin, than from heroin and cocaine combined, which is something because back in the day, heroin and cocaine used to take out a lot of people.
Yes.
So that's different. And then, of course, they have a quiz on that. And you mentioned prior about the whole euphoria, if you will. And so they have a portion in here, you know, they make you fuzzy, but what does drugs do in your brain. Different drugs do different things, but they all affect the brain, and that's why drugs make you feel high, low, speeded up, slowed down, or see things that are not there.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know repeated use can reset the brain's pleasure meter so that without the drug, you feel hopeless and sad, and eventually every day, fun stuff like spending time with your friends or playing with your dog doesn't make you happy anymore. So that seeking of euphoria, which is thrown off when you constantly take these drugs. So the question, I guess, and then the last thing, of course, is rehab. You know, does the treatment really work? Why do people come and go so much? And, of course, that you have to – it's work. It's not something that – you could just go in and they wave a magic wand and you're good to go.
But if anything, you know, someone trying to lose weight or get their studies on for a particular degree for a job, I agree that it does take a lot of work. Celebrity rehab that I don't know if that's still come on VH1.
I don't know. I don't think so. But
at the time, it was interesting to me to see these folks, stars or celebrities or whatever, going, we kind of live the lifestyle of a celebrity with the drug and alcohol or whatever, and unfortunately now that's that way into the position that they're in, that they need Dr. Drew Pinsky's help or somebody else's help in order to work to get themselves
well, I think it pulled back the curtain, and you know, we see the whole glitz and glamour, but then you get to see the aftermath, or you get to see what the aftermath of what happens behind the scenes that you don't see. That you don't see them when they're out there drugging and drinking or whatever. You might see them drunk, but you don't see them when they, like, if they take cocaine, you don't see them when, you know, snorting cocaine
right.
or doing
right.
But you see the aftermath and the toll that it has taken on their body. So those shows do, you know, show that. Now, why did I pick Drug and Alcohol Facts Awareness Week? One, it is a week geared towards teens. And, you know, the fact of the matter is we do have a program that deals with teen sexual health. And this is interrelated to that. You know, drugs, alcohol use does relate to promiscuous behavior, which is, of course, included in that Myths Shattered book. And like I said, it's a great book. Please go on there and download it. It is available for you to have. They also have another book called The Science of Addiction that is downloadable as well. It gives you more insight. But one of the reasons why, another reason why I decided to do this is because I drank. I didn't do drugs. I drank alcohol when I was a teen. And I think it was one of those, I can't even say it was a social norm. I think it was just something that we did. No, our parents did not know that we were drinking. But we had, I guess we had the sense not to get drunk. And I'm saying sense loosely because if we had sense, we wouldn't have drank in the first place. But it is what it is. The funny part about drinking as a teenager is that it was introduced by a neighbor to myself and a friend of mine. And the very first drink that I had was Long Island iced tea. And I just remember that it burned for real going down. Oh, man. I remember my just feeling like my chest was about to explode.
That's painful. Okay, give me some more.
I don't even think I asked for any more. But the thing is that I didn't get to the point like you see on some of the different movies or comedies where somebody drinks something and as soon as they drink something, they throw it up. I didn't throw it up. But it was just one of those things like, oh my God. So I know the effects of what alcohol can do on the body. I lost an uncle to cirrhosis of the liver. And this uncle had battled alcohol for a long time, but he was never one to go into a rehab or something like that. He didn't feel that this man drank. And I seen him like at the point of when you have to have a bucket, if you will, a chilling bucket. For those of y'all don't know what those is the pig intestines, and they used to come in a red bucket. And he had this bucket basically by his bedside because he drank the night before and everything else, you know, is coming up the very next day. So this is like a routine for him every freaking weekend. You know, okay, I'm going to drink on Friday. Saturday, I'm going to be in the bed, straight out throwing up or something, however day it was. And that made me sort of know that that wasn't for me. You know, yeah, I tried it. I think I probably have been drunk maybe once or twice in my life. I have been to the point of, as my friend Jeshwan would say, I drank the more kiddie drinks because I did the mudslides and things like that. But I have had, you know, a shot of bourbon or whatever, what have you, or things like that. When I was 21, I felt rite of passage was to go to the bar and you know, drink at the bar. All those things that are sort of set up as social norms are not good for you. And I believe that as a adult, especially now a health-conscious adult, that is something that we should sort of get together and say, you know what, yeah, it's on TV, but we need to fix this.
For you, you have something that don't feel that need to be fixed. Social norm is something supposed to be...
It is what it is.
Thing, and for community, it can be. I don't necessarily agree because, you know, for me, for example, that things going on, you know, as far as trying things out, some things I liked, some things I didn't, but for the most part, didn't feel that was the person to be drinking, and I've been dry ever since.
Well, that's good to know. Guys, I thank you as always for joining us for this discussion. We will be doing this 8 o'clock Saturday time from now on, but we'll be doing it twice a month. So we will do it every other week. Chris, Regina, I thank you guys as always for joining me in the studio.
Thank you for having us.
And I don't know what our next subject is in a week, but, you know, I, as always, will let you know. And thanks so much for joining us this morning. for What's New with VA Shoes. Again, I am your host, Venus Henderson Hughes. You guys have a great Saturday. Bye-bye.